Calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones makes studio quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIV.
It's that 9 to 5 time to feel alive. This is Band from Ringside.
Tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast, we have Roman Reigns' huge announcement. Dean Ambrose turns. Elias turns. The crown jewel, the Evolution pay-per-view coming up this weekend. And a whole bunch more tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast.
You took your time on that. It was just like, you know, it was like a little S-turn.
Be fast, but don't hurry. That's what John Wooden said. Ditch that 9 to 5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Marks, and welcome to the Band from Ringside podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bill Vagy, a.k.a. Ica Job Crane. And to my right, as always, we have Two Beers. Zach Pullman, what's going on? Two Beer.
Oh, man, it's so good to be back.
We missed you last week.
I missed you guys, too. I almost came here with half a haircut. I was in the middle of a haircut, and the 79-year-old barber started talking about how they need to send all the NFL players back to Africa, and I had to just.
And then you had to go grab a beer with him.
I mean, that's why it was late, because I was like, I gotta buy this guy a Budweiser.
And to his right, as always, we have Jason Cornelius Bell. What's going on, JCB?
Ladies and gentlemen, let us bow our heads and crack open the latest edition, volume 78 of the Band from Ringside podcast, chapter 3, verse 14, and the good smart saith, hashtag boo the heels. It is all good, baby. I can't have a good story like Zach has, unfortunately. I've just been, you know, minding my own business, you know, trying not to turn the heat on, watching a little wrestling, unfortunately. I'm trying not to, man. I mean, damn. Man, look, to heat that big-ass house, that's a lot of fucking money, man. I'm waiting to the very end.
It is right. We have Murray, the Murray man. Murray! What's going on?
I'm doing great. I'm just getting super excited for next Sunday.
Me too.
We officially have a booth at the Four Hands event on November 4th.
I thought we was going to tease that bad boy.
And where is it?
It's at Four Hands Brewery.
Four Hands Brewery.
Right there on 8th Street downtown.
Yes, sir. And, yeah, right there by...
Well, my other work, Old Rock House.
Right.
Four blocks south of Busch Stadium.
Absolutely. But yeah, we're going to have a booth there. It's a free event. It's family-friendly, dog-friendly. Strange Donuts is a part of it. So it's going to be a party, and Dynamo Pro Wrestling as well.
Starts at noon. We'll all be there, and we will be there with gift cards for JJ Twiggs on Southampton. We have tons of them to give away, guys. All you got to do is come up and say hello. We limit one per... beefer. You're not allowed to take all of them, but if you come up and just say hello and say, hey, Bill, hey, Jason, hey, Murray, hey, Zach.
Oh, I don't got them.
Talk to Bill.
Talk to Bill. Bill shirts.
You get a $10 at JJ Twigs on Southampton. They got delicious pizza. They pour strong drinks. They also have $15 buckets during Blues games. So if you're a big hockey fan, go there, watch a game. It's a great place to watch a game. Great place to bring the family. They have booths. They have tables. They have high tops by the bar. I try not to curse around there too much when I'm over there, but I might be there cursing some night. You never know. But come down, get some JJ Twiggs pizza, man. Get that Super Mario, them chopped meatballs with the mozzarella and the basil. That's my favorite, man. That's my favorite every time. Before we get too far into it, let's talk about that day one-ish. That Soul Taco, guys, that Mexican-Korean fusion food that's so good, that's sweeping the Midwest. They got places in the U-City Loop, two food trucks driving around St. Louis, Missouri. They got a place in Chesterfield, Missouri. They got Columbia, Missouri, Champaign, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois. They're opening up two new spots, guys. Get in on that from the ground floor, and that way you can tell your friends that you love Soul Taco way back when they only had 8 restaurants.
They're fucking going Titus worldwide.
As opposed to 10 years from now when they have 50 restaurants. Get yourself some Soul Taco. You'll enjoy it. Everybody enjoys it. Nobody lies about it. We're not putting it on. We enjoy the Soul Taco, the tacos, the burritos, the quesadillas, the kimchi fries. It's all good. Get yourself some Soul Taco. So without further ado, there is tons obviously tons of shit to talk about tonight. So let's get to our one count. JCB, what do you say?
When real life and wrestling intersect, it can either be good or it can be bad. In this case, for me personally, and I only speak for myself, this was bad.
It was bad.
Roman Reigns comes out and announces that he has leukemia again after fighting it for 11 years. Clearly, I did not do my homework on Roman Reigns in this scenario. I did not know he had leukemia to start.
I don't think anybody did.
It was very under the rug.
Okay, yeah. Good. Now that makes me feel better. The knee-jerk reaction, I was in at Tinder's house doing our Monday Night Gluttony, and I'm in the kitchen. I'm hearing, my name is Joe, and I'm like, Joe, why is he talking about Samoa Joe? That doesn't even make sense. And he's like, I'm fighting this battle with leukemia. I'm like, what the fuck? And then, I tear into the living room, and I'm just sitting there, and it was so surreal because for like 30 seconds, I think people thought that he was still bullshitting or people just hate Roman Reigns.
Or they thought it was a work.
Or it was a work. And I was just like, man, what the fuck? You guys everybody just shut the fuck up for a second. Let this man talk. It was easily his best promo. It easily humanized him. It easily, when he comes back, it will make him the biggest star on the roster. They won't have to do anything anymore.
He'll never be booed again.
The sad part about it took leukemia to get him over.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But now when he comes back, he will be over.
Now hold on a second.
He will be over. I don't
to get
care
him over as a
said.
Face. He was always over.
Get the him guy, over as a face.
The guy's been over for a long time.
Okay, to get him over as a face, it took something like this where everybody puts the hatred aside, puts the Vince, he favors Roman Reigns, he favors Charlotte. Even I, who has banged on Roman Reigns pretty much since day one, since we started this bad boy, I feel bad for this guy. I don't want this to end like this. I want him to come back. I want him to come back into WrestleMania. Look, I don't want him to die. Is where this is boils down to. If he never wrestles again, okay, that's cool. I don't want this man to die.
Okay, Zach.
So I'm probably arguably the biggest Roman Reigns fan in the room.
That's probably true.
So I had this spoiled for me because I'm on my fuck WWE grind, and like I see JCB because I get a notification every time he tweets, and he's like, now watching WWE Raw, and I'm like, all right, waste your time.
How's your phone have any battery left?
It gets rough sometimes. But so yeah, I'm like, whatever. And then, I'm on Twitter and I'm like, oh my God, like it was spoiled for me. And the crazy thing is watching this happen after he comes out and he's in his street clothes and you can tell he's breathing it in. He's thinking this might be the last time he's ever in front of a WWE
Absolutely.
Universe.
Yeah.
And they're booing him out of the building. And it was like heartbreaking from that moment. And then he comes in and he gives a speech and the crowd goes silent. And then by the end of it, everybody's chanting, thank you, Roman. And I mean, I was shaken up. Rollins comes out and he's crying. And I'm even more broken up. Then, I come to terms with it. And then I watch NXT 2 days later and they do this video package like only WWE production can do, and they tie that in with like his accomplishments and like these other vignettes and stuff, and it makes
killer.
It even more impactful. Yeah. And I'm fucking crying again like a bitch on fucking Wednesday. And
that's okay.
This is just,
hey, it's okay to cry.
I'm not emasculated. Like I cry. It happens. sometimes thugs cry. But
I'm gonna talk about you, right?
But so devastating. I mean, say what you want about Roman Reigns, the dude is a fucking workhorse. He's the hero of the locker room. All the outpouring support. New Japan tweeted at him. He's all this love. He's gonna fight this. He's gonna come back. He's in great health. He's gonna get whatever treatment that he needs, and he's gonna come back, and he's gonna fucking be number 30 in the Rumble. A year from now, and he's going to fucking murder it.
I hope they don't give him number 30. Murray, any thoughts on this?
At the end of the day, I just hope that, because I'm not a huge fan either, but I don't think he's awful as a wrestler. I think if he actually is given a chance by the audience to be halfway decent, it might make him a better wrestler and a better performer. So, unfortunately, this scenario is what it is, but I do have a feeling when he comes back, he's going to be a whole new Roman Reigns.
My question is, who do you guys think, and this might be Bill's question, I'm just taking it from, who do you guys think is going to be the top guy? Because Roman is the face of the company. He's the top guy. who's that guy?
I was going to ask that question. Let's wait until we get to the two count, because the two count definitely can get into that a little bit more when we get to what happened later on in the evening, which was
here's a question
nearly just as big.
How long do you think they knew about this?
Not long at all.
They started taking him off those shows.
They took him off three house shows.
Remember when I had that big ass rant about him not defending the title for that extended period of time? I'm thinking they knew that far back.
Vince might have, but Vince I don't think have. Anybody else knew. Creative apparently, like, because I listen to Meltzer, I subscribe to Observer. Apparently, Creative only knew that night, and they had to switch everything up.
I'll say this: I was watching it live, and when he came out in street clothes, I was getting ready to tweet something snarky about him coming out in street clothes with the man bun.
Well, he was hurt. Report that he was physically hurt.
As soon as he said,
like, okay.
my name is Joe, I was living with leukemia since age 22, and I was like, oh, shit. And then, like Zach said, the crowd very quickly quieted down. Like, most of them, you can hear some, you know, edgelords out there yelling all their bullshit and everything. But, like, the crowd pretty much got it right away that this was a big deal. And no matter what you think about Roman Reigns or the booking or about how he performs or anything, taking this from a purely wrestling standpoint or from a company-wide standpoint, or like wrestling fans, we revel in history and we know who Hulk Hogan is and John Cena and Steve Austin and The Rock and all these guys. Roman Reigns has been the guy for a long time. I mean, he's headlined four WrestleManias.
And was supposed to headline the next four or five.
Yeah, and nobody else has done that. And I thought, first and foremost, I rewatched it again. So I said I watched it live. I rewatched it again before I came in here because I thought that I should in hindsight. And I was fucked up and I was emotional that night. I'm a Scorpio. I get emotional.
I was too cold, Scorpio.
I was fucked up
Scorpio
that night watching
bitch.
It. I was like, man, this is awful.
I gotta say real quick, and I don't want to interrupt you, but it's so bad that my wife saw your wife in the middle of the week and they were talking about it.
Right.
And yeah, they were mad that they were talking about it.
It fucked my wife up too. Yeah. I mean, she was like, oh my God, that's the saddest thing.
It's never happened in that
no.
height of
imagine if that, not imagine like if this. That not wrestling. What, imagine if he doesn't survive and that was the end of an era.
Ugh,
I don't want that to be the case, and I don't think it will, but imagine if it was. That's fucked up.
That's
but
crazy.
I saw
business.
The same thing that you saw watching it after you knew the answer was, or watched after you knew what happened. Is like watching it the second time, he really was breathing again. And what a courageous, I feel weird calling it a promo. It didn't feel like a promo. I mean, it was a promo, but what a courageous thing to do, to go out there. I can't believe he didn't break down crying, because I felt like crying watching it the second time as much as I did the first. I mean, no how shit. Awful of a thing to do, to go out there and know you're going to get booed. I mean, and I'm sure there were certain ways that they could have gone about doing it. They could have had a pre-tape, or they could have come out with a news release or something like that. Or
instead of letting him do it live.
Or Vince said to Roman, do you want to do this? Or Roman said to Vince, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell the crowd, because
I feel like that's it.
He has been saying, and the way that the promo started out was, he said, I feel like I've been telling you guys lies because I said I'm going to be a fighting champion, and now I can't fulfill my duty, is the words that he used. I can't fulfill my duty. And that's a rough thing to have to go out and say in front of people. And God bless the Providence, Rhode Island crowd for immediately getting what it was.
Thank fuck you didn't do it in Chicago.
No yeah. shit. That's what I was just getting ready to say.
I don't know. I think most places would have gotten it right.
It would have been a CM Punk chant.
Maybe Philadelphia. Maybe not have gotten it right.
Look, did you see? And it took them a while to get the fact that this is the real deal. Holy,
I mean, they got silent.
Me.
They weren't booing or cheering.
Really,
yeah,
really,
silent.
I mean, I just watched it. It really didn't take them that long. They pretty much within a minute. Within
realized
60
what
seconds,
the fuck was going on.
Realized what the fuck was going on. Started chanting, thank you, Roman.
Did you see the WWE.com exclusive footage afterwards?
Yeah, when they were following
okay,
him.
Okay, now
and
see,
was
that
like,
was
right,
the one
me.
That made almost made me go ahead. Was like, man,
everybody
damn.
Everybody was so so, like, I mean, like, it's just hugs, and Nia's crying, and Triple H is upset, and Braun's upset, and he's all smiles, and he's joking, and he's like, I'm gonna beat this, and he goes back out, and they're following him, and he's like, you guys are too much, and he's like, don't follow me to my rental car.
It's like, seriously, like, don't.
He's like, it's not a good rental car.
He's like, giving me a full-size SUV. Yeah.
So, like, that gave me, like, hope. Like, this dude's gonna beat this, and he's gonna come back, and he's gonna be the biggest baby face on the fucking planet.
Amen.
And fucking Vince is going to think that it was because of him.
I mean,
that's not a lie, though.
Yeah.
No,
I knew he would get over.
No.
I knew it.
No. Man, Vince is not, I mean, that
wrestling fans are the most cynical motherfuckers in the time.
I almost wrote that scenario. I swear.
Two things. Number one is kind of off the wrestling, but I really don't like when people talk about cancer and they say, like, well, this person's strong enough, they're going to beat it. That's not really the way that people beat cancer. People withstand cancer. And so if people don't beat it, it doesn't mean that they weren't strong enough. It just means that fucking cancer gets them. Yeah. I mean, that's...
No, those kids are weak.
Yeah, right. It's just... It's such a bullshit way to think about cancer. Second of all, I'm not here for the edgelords on fucking Twitter that 5 minutes after he announces that he has leukemia are out there making jokes about he has leukemia and this is the only way he can get over.
It's the absolute worst. I will say,
it's the fucking absolute worst. Just be human for a second, guys. You guys don't have to be fucking edgelords on Twitter all the fucking time.
I make a lot of off-color jokes. I just made one. my daughter's best friend died from leukemia whenever she was 7 years old, so I understand the gravity of it. And something my wife and I did just last month, and something that you guys can do, we signed up for Be A Match. Just go to BeAMatch.com. They send you a cotton swab. You send it back, like, with your DNA. You could potentially be a donor, bone marrow donor. One of my wife's best friends, her dad just got leukemia, 60 years old. And so that was what got us to sign up. So, you know, you can donate money. You can, you know, donate time as a volunteer, or you can donate bone marrow or anything. But, you know, just do something positive with this instead of just
posting
some bullshit.
Or you can be an
edgelord
on Twitter, fucking dicks. Yeah. Just fucking assholes. It just bothers me so much.
You know, that's just for the likes. I mean, that's just people just wanting
trolling.
They just want the attention. I mean, at a certain point, the bigger picture is it's about Roman Reigns. It's about Joe. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Hey, it's about his health. At the end of the day, that's what I'm worried about. Like I said, if he never comes back, his legacy on the WWE has been set, and it will be set in stone for the rest of his natural born life, and nobody can take that away.
But really,
I'm worried about his health.
There's, like I said, there's not a whole lot of precedent for it. I mean, Daniel Bryan was cut down in the middle of his career, pretty much his prime. I mean, with concussions, he's come back. Hopefully, we get the same. Similar type of comeback with Roman Reigns. And God bless him. I hope he gets back to full strength enough so I can start ragging on him again on this podcast.
Just a quick sidebar.
It's called the Superman
Punch.
I
did talk to somebody about the Roman Reigns scenario, you know, how long of a timeline this could possibly be, depending on the radiation he takes and how far advanced that they saw it. This could be anywhere from 6 months to a calendar year. So don't look for Roman Reigns back anytime soon.
Perfect for that WrestleMania.
Yeah. So it might look, as much as you want to say this might be Vince working some shit up, the real deal, Holyfield is, you know, it's not, and he's not coming back for any time soon.
I'm cynical, but
the boys wouldn't have been a part of that if it was all set up. They would have not agreed to be with that.
Calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones makes studio quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIV.
No.
I mean, we shouldn't even be talking about whether or not it's a work or a shoot. Like, it doesn't matter.
Our next guest is Alex Jones. He's coming in.
So that'll bring us to our two counts. And now this is the fun part. Two beer, what's a two count?
Two count, I guess, we'll talk about Dean. So Dean Ambrose turns on Seth Rollins in a very impactful segment. My major thing with this, the thing that I think that we really need to talk about. We knew this was coming. We've talked about it. We knew the Dean was going to turn. I think you can be on two sides of this. You can either think that it was perfect timing because we had such an impactful opening to Raw, and this directly ties into the storyline with the Shield, or you can see it as exploitative, which is kind of where I lean. I understand that it was the best. I'm not saying that I understand that it was the best time. You don't have to like break it down to a binary either. It doesn't have to be either or, because I mean, when everything in life, politics, whatever, is broken down to this binary, it doesn't have to be that.
Right.
But you can't not see it as exploitative, because I do not think they would have done this week had we not had this announcement. I understand they have to blow up the top of the card. We have to have some kind of shakeup because we need new top guys. Seth can definitely be that top guy. He's my number one. AJ is getting on in years. He's going to retire pretty soon. For me, if we don't have Roman, Seth is the WWE face.
I agree.
JCB.
I get what you're saying, and the timing is suspect. We can go with that. From what I read, they moved up the timeline for the heel turn. It was supposed to happen during
the Survivor Series,
and now it happened now. So
I will say that the turn was amazing, and Dean was so good, and Seth was so good, and there's so many things, like little things that I could like talk about it with. This is like WWE storytelling at its finest, where you have two performers, and Dean is like saying, you know, like, say it again.
You knew this was going to happen.
Seth is apologizing. Even Seth is like, I'm sorry, as he's getting beat. It was so impactful.
Finally.
Finally, but I mean, they got it right.
Right.
Okay, ultimately, at the end of the day, they got it right. Whether you want to talk about the timing or not, okay, that's a different aspect to this, a different angle to it. Just for the heel turn itself, they fucking nailed it.
Nailed it!
It couldn't have been any fucking better.
Could not.
Dean was finally the Dean Ambrose that we've all been waiting for. Yeah. Not this. If he's going to be the lunatic fridge, then let him be unhinged. Let him, you know, walk around and, you know, talk to fucking Seth as he's beating his ass. Let him, you know, DDT him on the concrete. We haven't seen a DDT on the concrete in a long, long time. You know what I'm saying?
Unhinged ultimately should be a heel character.
Right. When he goes up through the crowd or whatever, a la Shield style. Everything they did from the start to the finish, that heel turn was perfect. Now, if you want to argue about the timing, that's something entirely different. Like I said, I get that because, like you said it, they got to blow up the top of the card, and we can't wait for Roman. You know, if for like a couple of segments after he made that announcement, I was just kind of like, man, damn, you know, what the fuck? Why did they start with this first? But now I get why they start with this first, because it all became right. Full circle at the end. So it made sense. Okay. At the end of the day, we just need to just keep our fingers crossed that creative does good with this angle, doesn't, you know, abandon it within 2 or 3 weeks.
It's all about the booking.
And you know, gotta Vince figure Man, out he's all about his money.
Okay. We're going to talk about that in a second.
That's
and you
got to
figure
camp.
Out what the top of the card is going to look like. Obviously, you're going to have Braun. You're going to have Drew McIntyre. Seth, Dean Ambrose is your top four guys that I can think of off the top of my head on Raw.
I just think that, you know, that a lot of people on Twitter are saying that the timing was weird. Like, you guys are saying whatever. But the thing is, like, I bet you Roman was even part of it. Like, look, I'm going to go out here. I have to say this. Things have to be moved forward. We have to fast forward. We're not writing my cancer into a storyline. But we can use the opportunity of this whole sensitive subject.
They have to write his absence
into exactly.
It.
They had to fast forward a little bit, but that's fine because it worked. So, like you said, as long as they don't drop the ball from here until wherever the ending is to this feud or this turn or whatever, I thought it was great. I thought it was perfect timing.
Man, it's all about the booking. You know this.
I think.
Assholes.
I think that when we're talking about the all-time heel turns, and I know that somebody put on our, you put on BFR at BFR Pod on our Twitter, you put immediately after, what's the more memorable heel turn of Seth or Dean? And I responded to it, motherfucker, you gotta give me like 30 minutes to respond. It
shouldn't even take you that long.
Like, I gotta,
it shouldn't even take you that long.
Well, I've marinated on a little bit, and I don't think it's even close. I think it's Dean. Dean is.
Oh my God, are you kidding me right now?
I agree.
I don't because
no way.
Seth was unexpected, and we expected
Amen.
Dean.
Amen. And it's for the title. Seth? It's for the title at WrestleMania.
Hold on.
And also, on, Dean, this thing is
slightly tainted. What was for the title?
When Seth cashed in.
No, but that wasn't the turn, though. He was already a heel.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're talking about heel versus heel turn?
Right. Yeah, when he put the chair on
Roman and
Dean. That was the heel turn. You didn't even know what pole you were putting up.
Well, and the fact that they had just won the tag team championships. They had just won.
I'm sorry, mister. I very rarely fucking tweet, but now y'all just say you're going to take shit over? Shut the fuck up. Host the show.
Now listen.
Mr. 112 followers.
112? It's like 86.
Oh, you guys follow 112.
I'm not even going to mention these guys' Twitters anymore. Just follow me, at BFR Bill.
An idiot in 2 weeks.
And BFR Murr. No, this was way more memorable. This is a way better heel turn because, listen, what happened earlier in the night was unprecedented. You don't have a WWE champion who's been in a faction, who is currently a faction, who is currently in that faction, who is the biggest guy in the company, essentially announce his leave of absence due to cancer earlier in the night. It was genuinely moving. We just talked for the first 20 minutes about the on the pod about how genuinely moving it was, because he basically went out there to shoot promo about what his real name was, that he had been living with leukemia and that people didn't know that he'd been living with leukemia and that it had come back. And now he was laying down his Universal Championship in the middle of the ring. Then the guys who are in the faction with them go out and they win the tag team belts that night. Genuine moment of catharsis for everybody watching. Fuck yeah. Even me, as jaded a wrestling fan as they come, I was like, hell yeah. And I thought to myself, there's no way they're going to turn Dean that night. And if you thought to yourself they're going to turn Dean that night, you've probably thought it to yourself every single Raw for the last 6 months. So fuck off. You didn't predict that shit. Well, you call it every night. You're like those people that watch a baseball game. You're like, here comes a home run. And the guy strikes out. And then the guy hits a home run. You're like, I called it. See? I called a home run. Oh, he's going to hit this free throw. Oh, he misses the free throw. Then he hits the next free throw. Oh, see, I called it.
That's genuinely funny, but I disagree.
Then when Dean comes out, and I was getting ready to go to bed. Shit. I was like, man, because I can barely keep my eyes open on Monday nights.
Oh, man.
Because the weekends take it out of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, man, I guess I'll stay up and I'll watch this. And when Dean turned on Seth, I audibly gasped. I was like, holy shit. It was pretty close to that.
I did that for Seth. I didn't do that with Dean.
Oh, come
on. I'm being dead serious. I'm not saying it to be contrarian.
What I'm saying is, with the emotional impact of Roman's announcement earlier that night, and with the way that the Shield was going, they were teasing a Dean turn, but for of all nights, I thought they'll turn Dean on any night, but they're not going to turn him tonight.
It may not have been the most shocking, but it will be the most memorable.
It was... It was shocking.
I'll give you that.
When it comes to memorable, when it comes to Raw 50, because I mean we've had 25 already, we might as well have 50. I mean, as long as the United States lasts 25 years, which I mean, fuck, I hope it doesn't.
We'll have
Raw 50. I'll be gone by then. It's cool.
I'm still gonna be here.
You guys really think that Seth was better?
Because it's not a bigger thing.
Because when Seth turned, Triple H was at the side of the ring being like, I need a backup plan. And everybody thought in that moment that Dean was the backup plan. And then Seth turned.
Okay. Not as much of a shock, but it's still shocking.
That is less shocking than Roman announcing that he has cancer and then the Shield breaking up in the same night.
You're using the two things.
After they win.
Okay, so you want to be like that.
Hashtag recency bias.
Dude, I know. I always talk about the recency bias. But they did just win the tag belts.
Okay, the night before that Seth turned.
I talk so much, people turn shit Evolution. Back on me all the time.
They beat down Evolution the night before when Seth turned. So they came in on this big-ass high. They're the greatest faction of all time. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and then Triple H and Orton comes out with no Batista because Batista quit.
When's the last time that somebody won the tag belts and then one guy turned on the other guy immediately after winning the tag belts? Name me the last time.
Probably Stone Cold and Mankind.
No, turned on him?
Yeah.
Turned on him?
I can see that easily.
Stone Cold stunned everybody.
Turned on... No.
He doesn't give a fuck if he won the tag belts or not. He stunned everybody.
That's true.
So it's 1997. We gave it 22 years. We had a good 22 years.
Turned on his fellow faction member in the same night that they won the tag belts, in the same night that the third faction member announced that he had cancer and he had to lay down the
uniform.
Let me finish. No, just listen to it. They win the tag belts. He turns on him in the same night that the third faction member had to vacate the Universal title due to cancer. There's no precedent for this.
It did put a lot of heat on him. It put more heat on him, for sure.
Of course it put more heat on him.
Outside of this argument, which is going to go nowhere, what's...
It's not going to go anywhere until you guys realize that this is crazy.
What's the next move? Like, what happens with these belts?
I refuse to talk about anything until you guys agree with me.
Dean beats Braun.
I think the next move... I was thinking about this during my morning run today. I think the next move is that Dean takes the finger poke of Doom, loses the tag team belts to Dolph Ziggler or some shit like that. Like, I can see Dean just laying down, like, because they have to defend it at some time, right?
Which might make things interesting, though.
Well, right, but what is the... How do you book this? They are the tag champs.
Him and Dean are fighting
for
that IC
title. It's a simple way
to
do it, but clearly we won't do it.
What's the simple way to do it?
Tournament.
Wow.
No, but they still have to fight together.
I still think...
They're going to vacate it. Just vacate it anyway.
Vacate the tag belt?
You're going to do vacating the... Jordan. You vacated the fucking Universal title, so all of a sudden now we can't vacate the tag team titles, have a four-man tournament, and decide by Survivor Series who the champs are?
Kayfabe style.
Kayfabe style.
Why would you vacate the tag belts if two healthy individuals are holding them?
Because clearly they don't like each other.
One word, consent.
Well, I mean, Dolph Ziggler came out and just gave away the U.S. title after he won it, like, what, the night before? So, it's not impossible.
But how does that work with tag belts?
I mean, Dean can just give it up.
Clearly, we're not able to get along.
They're going to give him Jason Jordan as his tag. It's going to be Seth and Jason Jordan again.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say the fact that Dean bounced Seth's head off the concrete dissolves them as a tag team.
I feel like
we're
going to
go ahead and just vacate the tag titles.
Or it's McMahon territory. Monday, they're just going to come out as friends again.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. So where does this heel turn rank for you guys? I mean, obviously.
Oh, it's super high.
I mean, top five, top 10
of the heel turns that I have watched.
All time.
Oh, wait, come on, man. I mean, that's not even fair.
Like, for me, Hogan's number one.
I think Hogan is number one for everybody.
I agree. Yeah.
And it's definitely in the top five, maybe in the top three.
Okay. I mean, that's all I want.
I got to say top 10.
If you say it might be in the top three.
So, I wasn't watching whenever Seth turned. I was just being devil's advocate and thinking that the Seth turn was cool.
Oh, my God. Get this guy out of here.
You didn't know anything about it until we sat down.
Yeah, I didn't even know Seth turned. I'm just joking. I did know about it, and I've watched it since, but I wasn't watching, which makes a big difference.
Same here.
Also, I want to say this about Dean Ambrose's turn, is that I have been waiting personally for Dean Ambrose to be a heel ever since they turned face.
Oh, fuck.
We can all agree on that.
In 2015. No, yeah. They turned face. He's been a face.
He was the top baby face on SmackDown for 9-10 months.
He turned baby face back when the Shield turned baby face at the beginning of 2015 before they squashed DX at WrestleMania. So that guy's been dying to be a heel, and you could tell. And when he finally dirty deeds'd, it's not really a verb. When he finally dirty deeds'd Seth Rollins in the middle of the ring, you could tell that his character was conflicted by it.
It was
great heel work.
It was a great performance. Both of those guys, I mean, hands down, regardless what you think about it, it was top-notch storytelling. Best storytelling since Ciampa Gargano, which is not even really in the same league because it's NXT. I can't think of
the best storytelling they've done on the main roster in a while.
In years.
Well, and if you look back to when the other two came out after Roman had announced what was going on, you could even see, if you watch it close enough, you can see in Dean's face, like, fuck.
Yeah, I think
shit is about to go down, and I'm kind of hurt.
It was tied in. I thought Dean was just trying not to cry to be like manly.
But he was
like,
he's conflicted.
You can see it. And I was just kind of like, is this?
I think two of the biggest three Raw moments of the last decade happened on Monday night.
I agree.
And it was Roman Reigns' announcement and Dean's turn.
Absolutely. That's why we spent 40 minutes talking about him.
We should.
And Elias is
I could do 2 hours on it.
I agree. I'm just saying that's why.
I think the only one that's the other one to fill out the top three is the pipe bomb promo. Like, those are the three biggest moments in the last decade on Raw, in my opinion.
Okay.
Whenever Titus missed the ring.
And we'll bring it to our three counts. All right, the three counts. I mean,
it's happening.
It should be Evolution. But it's not.
Hey, can I put out one of my most favorited tweets that I put out there, which was WWE Evolution is very similar to the theory of evolution in the sense that Vince McMahon probably doesn't believe in it.
I retweeted that shit.
I retweeted it
right away.
I was like, my dog. Yeah.
That's good.
Calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones makes studio quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIVE. Calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones makes studio quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIV.
Are we doing predictions or nah?
Nah!
We can do predictions.
I barely know the matches.
We can do predictions on the title matches if you guys want to make them count. I'd be okay with that.
We can just tweet them.
But we
could talk about it.
But no, we're talking about Crown Jewel, and I'm not sure where it is because they've
announced it. They're going to Saudi. It's happening.
I actually canceled my WWE Network subscription today, and I told them why.
Yeah.
He sent his congressman a letter.
Yeah.
I will no longer illegally stream WWE Network ever again. But no, I actually did pay $10 because when I do the dishes, I like to watch Attitude Era stuff. So it's good for me, and I watch NXT live every week, and the NXT UK is great.
You have a TV. 205 Live is good.
No, I just use my iPad. But I'm bougie like that. But no, I canceled it, and I told them why, and fuck them, and, you know, I'll keep up with NXT.
So is John Cena going to be there?
They haven't said anything about either one of them.
There's the $64,000 question. Daniel Bryan, John Cena are both basically... they're holding out. They're not. They're talking about they're not going to come. I mean,
which means they probably are.
One of the others going to have to show up. John Cena's the one that I think has the more leverage where he doesn't have to show up.
Mr. America,
Daniel Bryan has to show up. This is. I'm sorry. You can say the WWE title is a mid card title or it's in the mid card or whatever. It is still the WWE title.
I think John Cena. I think John Cena sees it as bad for his career if he comes out and says, "I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia." Probably because he looked really bad at the last one when he goes, "Oh, we want to thank you to the Crown Prince. We got to thank you to the Saud royal family for having us over to Saudi Arabia because it looks like shit." It still looks like shit. They look like shit.
Are they going to blur the crowd?
Oh, damn.
Are they going to just be like...
And those replace them with a bunch of jam jars?
Wow.
I mean, it's
this
only...
This starting to go south.
I mean, the last one was in a 60,000-seat stadium. This one is in a 16,000-seat arena. They're basically playing a Riverport.
Okay, so that's why they didn't sell tickets right away. So that's fine. They'll sell it out. That's not a problem.
They'll sell it out, but they move venues because the big place was being renovated. Tickets were never on sale.
Don't believe that propaganda from the Saudi Arabia government.
No, it's not that. They'll just buy all the tickets anyway, and they'll just fill it with like poor people.
Yeah, it's
like,
not like it's
they don't care.
It's not like it's Evolution where the scalpers are basically giving these tickets away. They're like $10 a ticket. I saw online. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Let's dovetail Evolution, the pay per view that's actually happening this Sunday, into the Crown Jewel conversation because they abandoned this Evolution pay-per-view talk about Crown Jewel, to promote Crown Jewel. And it's all blown up in their faces.
Good.
And they've basically booked three matches for, well, I guess not if you count NXT and not if you count the
There's like seven
Mae Young
matches.
Classic.
Look,
there's
really only three matches I'm
it's
even worried
unbelievable
about.
That they had months to book this thing and they can't book Asuka into anything except for a...
Battle Royal.
It's obvious that they don't care about it. It's obvious that it was just fucking lip service to get away with the Saudi Arabia show that, unfortunately for them, is blown up in their faces.
They booked Alundra Blaze, who the last time, I put it on Friends of BFR, the last time she was speaking in front of a WWE crowd, they asked her about the women's revolution, whatever you want to call it. She could only name two women that are currently wrestling. Two women, and every time Asuka and Nia. That's the only two people she mentioned.
And I mean, and they have what they
she
call...
She doesn't know anything about him, and they put
they
her in
They have what
there.
They call legends in the Battle Royal.
She was like, also supposed to call the first Mae Young Classic.
I know, and it would have been awful. That. It would have been as cringeworthy
Do you think
as that video.
Anybody knows what Kelly Kelly's music sounds like?
Hello,
Kelly, like, Kelly.
I mean, because a lot of
yes, I do.
But a lot of wrestling.
I remember ECW 08.
A lot of wrestling Battle Royals or Royal Rumbles. Well, it's not even a Royal Rumble. It's a Battle Royal.
Yeah,
so nobody's music's going to be able to get.
Oh, that Battle Royal is going to be
gonna be a commercial. What, you might as well. I mean, look.
This won't be a 4-hour show.
Bullshit. They
Evolution?
Said it was starting at 6.
It'll probably be 7.
Starts at 6, end at 9, 6-9, but
nice. It'll probably be 73 cents on the dollar of every single male.
This is going to be close to a 4-hour show.
73% of this pay-per-view.
There's two matches I give a shit about, and then the one I hope Bliss is able to wrestle. Then she can just squash everybody.
I mean,
she's
got a concussion. I want to see Kairi Sane versus
same
Baysler
and then Becky Charlotte.
And I want to see Tony Storm versus Io Shirai.
That's going to be the match of the night. Without question. I think that motherfucker's going to be off the chain.
Fucking strap a rocket to Io Shirai and send her to the moon as long as Vince McMahon doesn't live on the moon.
No, as long as they keep her in NXT. Yeah. They're safe.
He nailed that Dean turn, though, didn't he? That's going to do it for our three counts.
Don't give that to Vince.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You're giving him way too much credit.
Hey, tell him about our sponsor, JCB.
F&B Eatery on the corner of Marquette and Southampton, 4353 Southampton. Like I said, I'd like to call them part of our Southampton Mafia. I shall be there tomorrow. Actually, I had the patty melt last week, and I'm usually not a big patty melt guy. People always tell me that I should have a certain patty melt from a certain restaurant that does flat burgers that I won't mention, but it starts with two S's, and I don't like that patty melt. So I said to myself, myself, let's try this patty melt this week. It was really effing good. Off the chain, dare I say. Limited menu, limited time to be there. So obviously you kind of have to, you know, budget your time, pick and choose your spots. They're open from Wednesday to Saturday from 8 to 2, and then they reopen from 5 to 8. And then on the Sundays, it's just breakfast from 8 to 2. So once again, if you're a person that does like breakfast, I'm just not early enough to get up for breakfast because I like to sleep in. Roll on over to F&B Eatery. Tell them JCB sent you. Bang up some steak and eggs. I knew they had steak and eggs maybe a couple weeks ago. You go online, follow them on Facebook. They might be telling you specials that even JCB doesn't know about. Like I said, check them out. F&B Eatery, 4353 Southampton, on the corner of Southampton and Marquette.
This is Band from Ringside.
Well, BFR Bill has not come back from the bathroom yet, so
taking a dump.
I will give us a few seconds. I've been on my fuck WWE grind, like you guys right. have known. So Impact Bound for Glory was a fun show. Definitely a very small venue. Like, the ring, I don't know if you saw any of it, the ring looks super tiny.
I was getting ready to say, the ring, I want to say it's like full sail to me, but not full sail.
Yeah, like, but even, like, smaller, and there was no, like, area like around MGM. The ring.
Yeah, it was basically, like, it was almost like a Miss Universe kind of setup. It was like a real short ramp. Here's the ring.
And no spots around.
Right.
So I watched it like super blasted. I was texting these guys like 3 a.m. I was like having so much fun. But like OVE, friend of the show, Dave Crist, was facing Brian Cage and Pentagon Jr. and the Lucha Brothers. Super fun show. Total spot fest. Definitely worth watching. If they would have had a little bit more room around the ring, it would have been like even funner. Great work shoot from Austin Aries, who dropped the title to Johnny Impact.
You think it's a work shoot?
I think so. I think he's gone from Impact.
Yeah.
So he was definitely, you know, hammering in, like calling out, what's his name? Cyrus Over Huge. Yeah, Don Callis. So very fun show. Got a little campy with the women's stuff. They had like a trip to hell, where they were doing some like black magic stuff. That was the only negative.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not a big, huge fan of that. I like Tessa Blanchard, but I don't like the alley.
Yeah, the Tessa Blanchard match was good. But yeah, after that, it got weird. But a good show, fun stuff. Definitely worth watching. And then I also watched the NWA 70th anniversary show, which if you like old school NWA, it felt like an old school match. It was in Nashville. We had a new NWA champion, which is the old NWA champion, Nick Aldis, went over Cody in a 2 out of 3 falls match, which was a fantastic match. We had a new national champion with a new title belt presented by Jeff Jarrett, which is Willie Mack, who's a big talent. Fun show. If you like old school wrestling, like I grew up on watching USWA and shit on like local access here in St. Louis. I can't remember, but it was like Charter and my grandparents had it, and it was like channel like 6 on the fucking Charter box. And you could watch like all this like old school shit. It was very much an old school show. It was like a little amateur because the audio was terrible.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard they didn't have audio for like the first hour.
Yeah, all the promos didn't have audio. It was fucking miserable, but it was fun. So go out and watch it if you're interested in that.
Speaking of Dave Crist from OVE, next week we are going to be finally releasing those interviews that we cut at the All In pay-per-view that we had comedians Dan St. Germain and Mike Lawrence. We had Dave Crist from OVE. We had Simon Gotch, formerly of...
God bless America.
We have a great 20 minutes with Simon Gotch, formerly of the Vaudevillains. And we also have Neil Pruitt, former executive slash producer slash writer from WCW Nitro.
I haven't listened to these since we took them. I was blasted drunk for every one of them.
Don't tell everybody.
I listened to them 2 days ago, and they're all pretty good.
Okay, good, because I started most of them. And you came in for the save, so I was just a little worried.
Well, that was definitely Simon Gotch one, and the Simon Gotch one is good. Simon Gotch definitely does not hold back.
Not at all.
Even with schlubs like me and Zach just doing the interview, he definitely wants to talk about wrestling. So look forward to those next week, and let's get to some more odds and ends.
This is Band from Ringside.
So with the shakeup, like we were talking about at the top of the card, they needed to create some new faces, especially with Dean turning heel, mm-hmm. and they created what I think is going to be when Zach was talking earlier about who's going to take the place, obviously Braun's going to be a top babyface now. They turned him face. Braun versus Drew McIntyre seems to be the next up for the title feud, which looks to be fun.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. That's what I want to see.
I love the way that I keep going down rabbit holes, but Paul Heyman, first of all, cut a brilliant promo.
Beautiful promo.
Where he gave all the love to Roman Reigns.
But and then got turned it back on track.
And then turned it back, got us back on track, and cut a heel promo seamlessly. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really something of beauty.
It was great. And if there's a silver lining to this,
guys should host the Oscars.
It really should. If there's a silver lining to this, and that silver lining is that they accelerate the career of Drew McIntyre,
get it.
Well, I said it on Twitter that creativity is born of necessity or something like that, and like our invention is created out of necessity, and they really did have a good Raw because the Braun Drew feud looks to be going forward, which I think that Braun's going to win Crown Jewel.
If he doesn't, we riot.
Yeah, they need to keep it on the show every week. And then Drew McIntyre is a ready-made opponent. And then they also turned Elias face. And I think Elias, I watched the segment again tonight. Elias is going to be a massive face. Everybody was ready to cheer for him. And when Corbin came out to tell Elias to turn off his guitar and go back, it was like, here it is.
What did I say on Twitter? Elias face turn? Question mark?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Nice. I mean, him making fun of him telling Baron Corbin that before you came out here to suck all the entertainment out of the show, it's like that's like an Austin / Rock line. Like,
it is. Yeah.
If Elias can go out there and just rip on every other wrestler,
you know he
the
can
fans
do it.
Are behind him.
Yeah, and that's the big thing.
The whole walk with Elias thing. Whenever he says WWE stands for, and even though he's a heel. Everyone says it.
Now wait till he's a face. Yeah. It's going to be deafening.
And there's way more heels on this roster than there are faces. So this is a perfect opportunity if they do it right.
And it's possible that KO could come back as a face sometime in the next few months.
When he comes back, he'll come back as a face.
Bobby Lashley's is going to be his first opponent, and we'll work off of that.
But an Elias face turn to me is exciting. Like, let's see what he can do. Let's give him some feuds.
Which means they're pushing him.
That guy needs put the rocket pack on him, as Steve Austin would say, and push him to the moon.
There's no better time than right now. Let's see what he can do.
Right. There's so much to talk about.
Come on, rapid fire,
nigga. We're not even talking about Shawn Michaels and Triple H out there talking.
The X stands for NXT.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah, we can talk about NXT. Oh,
let me ask you this, though. Do you think that Shawn Michaels, who hasn't said the word retirement since he's been back, do you think that because he hasn't said it that he thinks that he's actually not coming out of retirement?
Next question. Here today, gone today? The pace of change can be confusing. Then again, it can be inspiring. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you build the self-confidence and decision-making skills it takes to thrive on change. Fight change with change. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
I don't know. I will say that it was in terribly bad taste that they had a graveyard segment right before they replayed the Roman Reigns promo. Jesus fucking Christ.
Speaking of that, though, why did Undertaker, my dad of the Undertaker, my Uncle Kane, fill the grave with dirt with no one in it in that segment?
Wait, your dad's the Undertaker?
He is. We have the same birthday as well.
Man, I don't know anybody that has the same birthday as their dad, though.
Man, I wish you wouldn't have said that, dog.
But what I'm saying is, no, but the point is, though, why did they fill the grave with dirt with no one in it?
Because they're dumbasses. Because they're old. Because they're old-ass boomers. Full of dementia. By the way, I had a pretty good night on Twitter the other night with the shut the fuck up boomer. And
you had a great night. You have way less followers than me, and you get way more likes all the time.
Because he's a dick. He speaks their language.
He is Twitter
You're fucking Twitter famous.
Thank you.
I jerked off to that HBK picture.
All right, that's enough. the Ronda Rousey Bella segment.
You guys are down on that,
dude. I thought it was good.
I thought it was great. The crowd loved it.
I do think it, I do like it. That it's they've actually built that match up pretty decent.
You know what's going to happen.
It sounds like a garbage match, and now I'm into it.
You know what's going to happen.
I really agree.
You really want to see that match? You really want to see that?
No, I want to see the way they book it.
I didn't, and now that they fucking...
Stop.
That's the thing. They actually did a good job. I don't know who wrote this thing.
Paul Heyman wrote it.
Well, then I'm sure Paul Heyman another blowjob. Because he needs
Bellas.
I'm not saying you. Just buy him one.
No, you.
Yeah. I think it's the Bellas. They'll be the ones doing.
Yeah, I thought that was a good segment too. I'm with you. Kurt Angle reading off the statistics for the World Cup. I retweeted
literally reading it because you can see like his eyes.
I retweeted it from a guy I follow on Twitter. I can't remember what his name is, but it said it sounded like he was reading it while being held hostage. Like he was reading it.
That's accurate.
It was just pretty good. So we'll get away. SmackDown was very passable this week.
It was whatever.
But all of a sudden, Big Show is like they're putting the Big Show over. He squashed Kofi Kingston. Daniel Bryan and AJ should feel like a big deal, but they've made it not feel like a big deal. Rusev and Aiden English are done.
Dead.
That's
a dead. That was quick as hell.
Mysterio versus Miz was
less
good.
Less than 8 minutes.
Mysterio versus Miz was good.
Hey, another
Mysterio looks young.
Another of my tweets. You think that Miz is the most metrosexual person on WWE roster, and then you realize that Rey Mysterio matches his contacts to every outfit.
I will say I like the Uso arm cock splash.
That's the only time the arm cock was appropriate.
I was into that. I'm totally for that. I was into that. That was cool.
Man, that thing that the Usos tweeted out of them and Roman Reigns as kids. Awesome. Because they're cousins.
Yep.
It was goddamn the cutest thing I've ever fucking seen.
I hadn't seen it.
Oh my God, it's cute, man.
Becky Charlotte at the Performance Center.
Boom.
I liked that. I liked that, but I didn't like the Charlotte promo after.
Yeah, same thing.
We can just eliminate the whole thing.
Let's go ahead. To NXT real fast. Gargano has been revealed as the attacker.
I thought that was a swerve, and it turned out to be the main thing.
Did you see what Ciampa tweeted?
Yeah,
no.
He was for it. He's like, good job, Johnny.
Let's powerbomb him. P.S. I'm super proud of you, or whatever.
I'm so proud of you.
The Undisputed Era. EC3 came out as a face. I guess he's been kind of a face. It was a great match. It was short.
I was surprised.
The beatdown Undisputed Era on EC3 was also good. I also have
EC3 needed that win. That's what I say. That's probably the biggest win he's had in NXT.
He loses a lot in NXT, and he shouldn't. He should be a big badass heel.
He's a good charismatic guy, but he kind of sucks.
The only other note I have this week from NXT is that Cassius Ohno. This is what I have written down. Cassius Ohno, fat kid that swims in a t-shirt.
Cassius Ohno looks like my best friend.
I can just bury
my head in his chest and feel so safe.
Give him micro pushes.
I would give you a laugh.
No, they're pushing him to get squashed by Matt Riddle.
Yeah. I'd give you a laugh, but I feel bad for Cassius Ohno.
He keeps saying bro, bro, bro.
We did not mention Mae Young Classic, which is only two matches this week, and they are, if you watch any Mae Young Classic episode, watch this week, because both matches are fantastic.
They were really good.
This is Banned from Ringside.
Hey, everybody, we know there's a ton of podcasts to listen to, so we appreciate the hell out of you listening to ours. We're going to get some birthdays this week. Perry Saturn.
We were watching the WCW where Perry Saturn was wearing his dress. I thought about you.
One of my favorite like angles of all time was when Jericho and Perry Saturn. I probably said this at the exact same time last year, but one of my favorite angles of all time was when Perry Saturn had to have a feud with Chris Jericho, and whoever lost the match had to wear a dress for a month. Perry Saturn lost the match, and he only had to wear the dress for a month, but then he continued to wear it for like
a
year. And he also got with Moppy.
He used to fuck him up.
He's 52. Rosa Mendez is 39. CM Punk, Phil Brooks, 40.
Will you please remember the password to Perry Saturn's dress?
I don't think he can get into it anymore.
No, I think it's Perry Saturn's dress 69. Nice. And maybe you guys look out there for it. You guys can find it, and you guys can have it. I'll sell it to you.
I was about to say, too late.
Taka Michinoku is 45. Bobby Fish, welcome back, brother, is 39. MVP is 45. Paul Orndorff.
Mr. Wonderful.
69. And Edge, Adam Copeland, is 45.
On this day.
Hey, guys. For Shock City Studios, for JJ Twiggs, for F&B Eatery,
check.
For Soul Taco,
check.
For Sam the Mauler Mall,
the perfect of the house,
for
check.
Two Beers Zach Pullman,
ready to
for
the bathroom, check.
Murray the Murray Man, Murray, Murray, Murray!
Thanks for your help this week, Birdman. Whoop.
For Jason Cornelius Bell, I am
Shout
Bill
out
Bang, and everybody
to Becky Balboa!
The
You're looking for meaning and purpose in your work.
Hello? Hello?
We all are. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you reevaluate goals and develop both personally and professionally to turn their careers into their callings. Don't be different. Be changed. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. Like celebrating every year the crew gets older. Or when you and your crew are courtside during overtime. No matter your reason for going out, now you have four more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.